Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, I mean, it's just as easy to be wonderful as it is anything else.
Well, you know, I guess we have a choice. We could be wonderful or not wonderful, so you might as well go for wonderful.
That's right. Let's just go for that. I think it'd be easier and a lot more fun.
Wow. It would be a lot more fun. Of course, you know, today being, we don't call it Saturday, we call it Faye Day.
So, Faye Day. I love a day all with my name on it. That's impressive.
It is impressive. We're having the calendars changed and everything's going to be reprinted, and it's a thing. It's just starting to take off. Yeah.
So. I love it. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to start somewhere. So, you know, and before
that's
you
right.
know it.
Might as well start there.
Yeah.
Start at the top. Never start at the bottom.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. And so, you know, now Easter has passed us. And, you know, so now we're looking at, you know, full on, you know, eyes now are on vacation. Memorial Day is next month. And so, you know, my goodness, it's like the year is just flying by. And so, you know, people are now looking forward to summer vacations and traveling and all that. So here we go. Full steam ahead, I guess. So.
All right. Well, you know, I was going to tell you, we closed a policy last week. It was had a 20-month life expectancy. And I'll be dadgum, the lady died.
Really?
I mean, we just did it. Yes. And they thought she's going to live 20 months. She didn't even live 2 weeks after we bought the policy.
Oh, my word.
So we've got to give the people's money back, put the money back in their accounts.
Oh, my gosh. Nobody saw that coming.
No, but I certainly didn't see it coming. It was a good policy. I knew that. But I had no idea that since we'd gotten all the medical under that she was that ill.
Oh, my.
But
wow.
She was a lot more ill than we knew about.
Gosh, so, 2 weeks. That's
and, you know, it's been several months since we've had that happen. But, you know, every once in a while, a couple of times a year at least, you know, somebody passes away right after we've bought their policy, and you know that you have to give them back the money. They have to pay us back, and that's the way it is. If somebody dies in the first 2 months, it's going to go to their family.
Wow.
And we're not going to get that money. The money, we'll have to take our money and put it back in escrow.
My goodness.
And we've only had one time when we'd paid a family and they're supposed to give us the money back and they'd already spent it. They couldn't give it back.
Oh, wow.
So we got to keep that. But usually, you know, it goes back to the family if it's in the first 2 months.
Wow. I mean, that's a big jump from almost 2 years to like 2 weeks. My goodness.
It is. And, you know, I mean, I just couldn't believe the lady died. And
yeah.
I went back and read everything. I said, it shows that she's, you know, going to live 20 months, you know, that she's not that ill. But she was a lot more ill than they were showing.
Wow.
That's all there is to it.
Gosh.
Cancer had spread a lot more than they knew about.
My word. It's just like that one was almost like too good. You're always looking
for... Yes, it was. And if we'd known that, we would never have bought it.
Yeah.
If we'd known she was that near death, we would never have bought it because we spent all the time and the money buying the policy and then had to take the client's money back and put it back in their account.
My goodness. Wow. I that has to be probably at least, maybe a record of all time.
It is. I think it is. We've had some, you know, we've lost some several times, but it was usually that first month or so. And after 2 months, it wouldn't make any difference.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we just got the papers signed, and they notified us that she had passed away.
My goodness. Wow. That's, oh, gosh. I don't think you've ever told a story like that before. At least
I haven't had it happen like that.
Yeah.
I haven't had one. It was that close. I mean, a couple of days. I mean, gosh, we weren't expecting that.
Yeah. Wow. I don't think anybody was. I think that was completely off the radar. I mean, I know you're always looking for good stuff, but gosh.
It was good, but it was a little too good.
Yeah.
You know, it was too close to the mark, and we didn't know it.
Yeah.
You know, we thought, you know, we had 20 months, and I put the people in it. We went from escrow to giving them the money, and Now it's coming right back.
Well, wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So how are we on like other like policies and bidding and availability?
Well, we're bidding on so many. I've got about 7 bids out, and they range from, you know, 20 months, 38 months. I've got one I'm bidding even that's 48.
Oh, wow.
But I don't believe it. And every once in a while, there'll be some that they'll say, you know, this person's going to live longer. And I've studied it and studied the medical, and I say, I don't believe that. You know, if it's in 4 or 5 locations, you're definitely going to die sooner. So we take that into account. If it says, you know, it has metastasized to the ribs, you know, the chest, some other places, you know, you're not going to be able to beat that.
Yeah. I mean, that's just...
Once it gets in the bones, I don't know how you would ever beat it.
Yeah, it's almost like a super highway.
It is. And then the next place they're going to check is the brain. But usually that's the last place it goes.
Mm. Well, why would they say 48? Is there, I mean, do they?
They're saying that person's not that ill.
Really?
They think they've got a long way to go, is what they're saying. If they go in 48, that's out of ways. And everybody knows we like to do up to 38.
Yeah.
That's our best deals. We don't go over 76. Somebody sent me one this week, 90 years old. I go, oh, my gosh, I don't want anything to do with that. Don't give me anything like that. Oh, I don't want to talk about it. Do not want to talk about it.
Oh, my goodness. They should know by now not to even bother, but I guess sometimes
That's
they
right.
think they're slick.
I know. They think they're going to put something over us, they don't know us well if they would dare to send that.
Yeah, really.
As you know, we want them all to be cancer. We want them to be stage 4. There's one that just comes down to stage 3. But most cancers, stage 4, it's your end of life, you know. And if it's stage 1 or stage 2, you've got a long way to go.
Yeah.
You're not going to pass away anytime soon.
When they're looking at these and they're analyzing the policies, do they ever like maybe pad a little bit of the estimations? Maybe they think, okay, this might be 24, but we'll say 30 just to err on the side of caution. Do they ever do?
I think they always give us a range.
Oh, okay.
Lots of time, I know Lapidus does. They'll give us a range, you know, 27, 34. I mean, they'll give you a range. And they'll say, but we think this is when they'll die. Hmm. And then they'll give us the statistics on that particular type of cancer. You know, with this treatment here, you'll live this long. If they're able to do surgery, you're going to live this long. If you cannot do surgery, this is probably when you'll die.
Okay, so they have like
so they
different...
give you all the... Yeah, they give you all the scenarios that's going to be connected with it.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yes.
That's, wow.
Oh, yeah. And that's what helps. If they give you all the information. Yesterday, we were bidding on a policy, and I was a little worried about the bid. And the people that did it came back and went through some extra steps for us to see, which I really needed. And it told us some extra things we did not know about this person and how many places it was on their body and how much it had increased.
Wow.
You know, and like if it starts out in your lungs, you know, then it's got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And then if it's went to all these other places, you know, you're probably done for.
Wow. When they, and I know this is kind of difficult to talk about in a general sense without looking at a specific case, but if it's possible, how do they ever have different scenarios that are very, very different? So like, say if somebody does this, then they think it'll be this much. If they do this, it'll be this much. Are those fairly close, even with the different scenarios, or are they like drastically different?
Sometimes they're drastically different. If they're just going to do radiation, or are they going to just do chemo, are they going to do surgery, chemo, radiation, what all can they do? Then are they on methadone? Are they on, huge pain deals? Because if you're in a lot of pain, we know it's moving on you, you know, and it's getting worse. If you're not on any pain and you're out at the golf course, you're going to probably outlive us all.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
Yeah. It's just a little small cancer. It's nothing to be concerned about.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's one of the things that you look at as well. That's a big, I shouldn't speak for you, but it seems like that's one of those big things that you look at as well, not just numbers and data, but you also look at like from a human aspect. It's just like, are they out playing golf? Are they out on vacation? Are they, working, normal or, doing their normal things? And if they are, that's kind of an indicator as well. So.
Well, and we've had several cases lately in the last month where they say this person has had to stop work. They're in such bad shape they cannot work. They've been to the emergency room many times. And so you know that person is really sick.
Oh, wow.
And then they'll also say if they're obese or not. If people are obese, they die a lot quicker. I don't know how many people understand that, but they do.
Hmm.
And that's the first thing I check. Is their weight, if they're obese, what other things do they have?
You're looking at...
It tells that they've been to the emergency room a lot, that they're on, 15 kinds of cancer medication, they're on pain medication, and they're having to have help getting up and down, all this other, they're really ill.
Wow. So there's a ton of information. It's not just a willy-nilly kind of a guess. This is all like based on data and
yes, and remember, we usually have when the cancer started, if it was 3 years ago, 2 years ago, if it was this year, we know when it started. We know how much treatments they've had. And sometimes the cancer treatment is so strong that they can't even take it, that they have to cut it back to half.
Oh, wow. Really?
And again, we read about a lady this week, and it wasn't cancer, but it was another case of a lady going to Mexico for surgery.
Oh, geez.
And of course, she got an infection, she died.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why women are so vain that they will go to Mexico. There may be some successful surgeries that I don't even know about probably, but there's a lot of people that are dying too, or making it worse when they go to Mexico. We have fine doctors here if you're trying to save your life.
Wow. It's like we always talk about, when people go to Mexico, about how, what they're getting to, for treatment can change things. But we don't really talk about, like getting infections and things like that. I mean, that's a whole nother aspect
of it.
It is.
And, when they come back, if it says that they've been to Mexico for breast cancer, I try to buy that policy as quick as possible because I know darn well they're going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. And breast cancer can go over it just like anything else. They might live another 3 or 4 years. But most of them, it's a 2-year battle or a little over 2 years. Breast cancer, sometimes it's pretty fast moving.
Yeah. That's one of those key ones that you, there's certain key ones that you, that get your attention right away. And that's one of them.
That's one of them. Breast cancer. Esophageal cancer, liver cancer. A lot of these are really, they're serious from the moment you get them. Some are not. You know, some you can live several years, but a lot of these, like pancreatic cancer, the ones we've done, nobody's ever lived over 2 years, and most of it was 13 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've never had anyone go that long.
I know you've got data that goes back years and years and years, and it seems like as we keep going through through time, you keep having like the same kind of because I know you'll go back and you'll like revise, you'll go back and analyze things. It's okay. How is what we thought, you know, say 5 years ago, still the same? And I know that you go back and you double check and you reanalyze things and you know if there's a reassessment that needs to take place, it does. But I know that you're always checking data. And I know that, you know, every time you look at a policy to bid on, you're looking at new advancements, new technologies. You're looking at, you know, the reports that you're getting. They're more, I don't want to say specific, but more detailed, more accurate, maybe. That might be the way to
look
at it.
They're a lot more accurate than they were 4 years ago. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we've got some older policies that we bought a long time ago that were not right. And so it made us cautious, made us be a lot more cautious about the way we do business.
What's your cutoff for age? Because I know you're speaking of those old 76. Policies.
76. 76. That's it. 76. If it's over 76, don't talk to me about it. I don't want to talk about an 85 or a 90-year-old.
They're going to end up being 150.
I know. They're going to live to over 100, and the premiums are going to rat them out, let me tell you. Yeah, you know, they're going to regret that.
Wow. All right. So that's one conservative investment. Oh, we should probably talk about also, just real quick, the fact that there's nothing that happens. And the reason you do this is because you're getting you're putting together a conservative investment that isn't affected by other things. And the reason that you're doing that is because the stock market can be so unpredictable, as we know. That's to say it mildly.
Yes, unpredictable is the least of it right now.
Yeah.
I mean, every day it's up, it's down, it's sideways. And their investments, they don't know where they are. They don't know if they've lost everything, lost part of it. Day to day. And I'm going to tell you something, if they're getting ready to retire, that should be a frightening, frightening thing if you're in the stock market.
Yeah.
I mean, how much more risk can you take? And, you know, and everybody's been touting gold. Gold went up. But, you know, gold plummeted also. Gold went down. So they may have lost all that advantage they had in the gold market.
You've never been a fan of gold. I mean, my goodness.
I just can't see that you should have a lot of money in gold.
Yeah, it's just.
I know that it backs up our dollar. I know that, but gold it just goes up and down.
Oh yeah.
And I've never seen it just stay up. You know, it just doesn't do that. And it took 2 years for it to get where it is now.
Jeez.
So everybody thought it's really going. Then it fell too.
Yeah, the bottom fell out of that. What about bonds? How do bonds fit into the whole landscape of?
Well, that's you can have municipal bonds, local bonds, or you can have government bonds. There's a million kinds of bonds. Remember, a lot of the public companies issue bonds.
Yeah.
Road work. They use bonds to do road work. When they want to build a new school, they issue bonds. And these are long, long-term bonds. These are not something you can just jump into, have a bond for a year, 2 years. These are long-term bonds.
So, all right. So that's something that people would be like, I guess, I don't want to say stuck, but you're committed for long-term.
You are really committed if you've got bonds. If you've got government bonds, you know, it's really a commitment.
We know real estate is not that great right now. Or what is it? It hasn't turned around, right? I mean, it's still not a good.
I don't think it's turned around. And let me tell you something. The city of Dallas, this is what big cities do. There was a big building probably 15 stories, something like that, out here on Stemmons Freeway in Dallas. Well, something went wrong. The building came available. The city of Dallas just had to have it. Now, they didn't do any studies. They didn't check anything. They just went out and paid $20-something million.
Wow.
For this building, and decided that they would put all the city of Dallas employees in it for permits and all this.
Really?
The building now needs so much work, heating and air, all kinds of work. They're going to bail out of this thing.
Oh,
they said if we can just sell it and get part of our money.
Oh.
Now, cities do stupid things like that. Now, if you had the city of Dallas bonds and you knew that they just lost $20 million on a building, you know, that wouldn't impress you too much.
No. Wow.
But, you know, they didn't have anybody to advise them. They should have checked that building. Backwards, forwards, of course it's vacant. Why is it vacant? Why do they need to sell it? And you're going to give them $24 million for it.
Wow. Yeah, that should have been a red flag. The building is vacant for a reason. It's like, don't
That's
buy
right.
it.
That's right. It was vacant for a reason. It had problems. There was things wrong with it.
Oh.
But no, the city of Dallas just rushed in. They have a lot of money. They paid for it. Now they're trying to figure out, how do we get part of the money on and move out?
Oh, no. So it's a loss no matter how you look at it. It is gigantic.
It's a huge loss.
Wow.
They'll probably be able to sell it for $10
million. Oh.
Yeah, about half of what they've got in it.
I can't.
So the city takes another big loss.
Wow. It's shocking that there's so much that's wrong with it, and they didn't even check it.
It's another one of those real estate deals that somebody should have been saying, why is it vacant? What is possibly wrong with it? Do they have heating and plumbing problems that are not, you know, why did the people move out? Why is it empty sitting on Stemmons Freeway?
Yeah. I mean, gosh, the location. I mean, that's a prime location. And so
that's right.
To sit
empty. It's not a prime building.
No, clearly not.
It's not a prime building, and here they are sitting with that monstrosity.
Wow.
So, you know, it is important. If you're going to put money in real estate, at least know what you're doing. You know, all these fast food chains that are going out of business, all these clothing stores, they're public companies. You know, they've made big mistakes. They mismanaged. Like Jack in the Box bought Taco Bell several years ago. They said, oh, it's going to add to us. Now they're trying to pawn that off on somebody. Who can we pawn Taco Bell millions and millions of dollars that they're going to lose?
Really?
Yeah, and so the stockholders are the losers. It's all public company. And, you know, they're making all these mistakes. They'll go out here and buy all these companies, and they run them right into the ground.
Wow. I'm shocked.
I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I mean, I thought for some reason, I don't know why, but I thought Taco Bell for some reason was like thriving and just making all kind of money. But maybe they're like everybody else and struggling.
Well, apparently they're probably making money before this big company bought them, you know, and ran it in the ground. You know, they always think that they can do better than a mom and pop running a place,
yeah.
You know. And then they float all this money, buy all this stuff, and they've got all this debt that they've got to service.
Yeah.
And they can't service all this debt. So, people, be conservative, go conservative. Just do life settlements that's backed by insurance companies, or do annuities.
Yeah.
You know, we're local. We've been around 23 years. You know, that's a long time.
It is a long time.
You know, we've got the office in Midland that's been there 13, 14 years. And our office in Dallas has been here all the rest of the time, since 2003. So, you know, it doesn't matter which way you're going. It's all conservative. Everything we do is with an insurance company. We're not out here doing real estate. We're not out here doing gold. We're not in the stock market. None of our investments have anything to do with the stock market. So we don't have the ups and downs, and we don't have the problems of public companies.
Jeez. It's like it's so so streamlined and so in its own bubble. It's I would imagine probably for new investors who have probably been in, you know, anything they can find, whether it's, you know, the stock market or maybe real estate or, you know, whatever it is, they've probably been in these things for a long time. And I'm sure you hear stories about this over and over and over where people are just like, you know, gosh, we have no control over our own investment. We're at the mercy of, you know, whatever weird thing can happen anywhere around the world. And so it's just it's totally like taking money, throwing it up in the air and hoping it that the wind blows it in the right direction. As with
did you know that seniors lost $15 billion in crypto scams last year?
No, are you serious?
It's people trying to get rich quick. I mean, people come and tell them these stories and they believe it, that
wow,
you can actually make thousands of percents. I've never seen anybody make thousands of percents. You know, be real. Think about what the reality of today's market is. You know, if a person can make 10%, 8%, I think that's a good amount per year. If you're doing live settlements, you know, and one comes due, you're going to make 25, 35%. Yes, you do make a lot more. It is conservative. But it's not once a week that you get paid. It's like 18 months, 24 months, you know, when a policy comes due. The life insurance company will pay. They're not going to pay you just half of it. They will pay you the full amount.
Yeah.
And that's the good thing about our investments. Both of them are with life insurance companies. You make a lot more, of course, with life settlements. But you have to have more. You have to make $200,000 a year to even invest. Or you must be worth $1 million without your house. So that's an investment for somebody a little farther up the chain, you know. But on annuities, you know, you can put $100,000 or more in and a setback, relax. It's like clipping coupons, you know. Every year, whatever you make, it's locked in. You can take 10% a year out. You know, you get the bonus up front of 14% right now. So, you know, both of these are very, very conservative. These are for people that are not out here to make all these huge amounts of money and then lose it.
Yeah. Well, it seems like so many people try to swing for the fences and find this, you know, what's the fastest way I can make the most amount of money? You know, I mean, that's kind of the culture we live in. It's, you know, what can I get for, so it's why people go for, you know, like Biggie Supersizes at, you know, value menus at drive-thrus. It's like, I can get all this for just this little bit. And we're in that kind of a mindset where it's just like, I'm going to, you know, swing for the fences and I'm going to get all this really quickly. Patience has kind of gone out the window. But the thing with life settlements and annuities is that they may be steady, but that's just it. They're steady. And you don't have to worry about, you know, any kind of an external factor getting rid of your entire you know, portfolio or your entire retirement is gone overnight. And you all of a sudden have to go back to work when you're 80. And so, you know, the thing with both of these is that it might take time, but the thing is that they're conservative. You know you're going to get paid for life settlements. They obviously have the reserves on hand, so you don't have to worry about, oh gosh, you know, your money is tied up in this over here. You know, give us 60 days and we'll go get it, and you can have it's none of that happens, and it's just it's in its own thing, and nothing affects either of the investments. Annuities.
And remember, a trustee handles the money.
Yeah.
We have a trustee that's been with us ever since the day we started. Nevada Trust, they handle the cash. Every account has to go to Nevada Trust. It doesn't come to us. You open your account there. The one thing we do is if you owe premiums, we do handle that for Nevada Trust. We'll handle the premiums. We send it in to them, unless you send it in direct, which you can do. But Nevada Trust makes the payout. The checks come to Nevada Trust from the insurance company, and then they put it in your account. We tell them, we give them a spreadsheet and say, okay, John Q. Jones is how much they are owed. Sally, that she gets this much. And then they put that money in your account, and we're ready to do it again. So there's not any red tape, and we're never directly in the stock market. These are the good things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's so regulated. It's so mapped out. It's so it's like when say a policy matures, it's just like they know exactly who's going to get what. It's like they get the notification and then boom, things just go into place. And it's just like, okay, it's almost like hitting a button. And it's just like, okay, this goes to this person, this goes to this person, this goes to this person, done, done, done. And it's so well, nobody's scratching their head saying, gosh, what do we do now? And God, let's see if we can figure out, you know, who gets what percentage. It's a fast, streamlined process, and it's already mapped out ahead of time, which is great. Because
and it's a lot faster than it used to be.
Yeah.
Because of the people we're using.
Mm-hmm.
They're fast. And what they do is they turn the claim in before we ever even get the death certificate. Used to, the other company would not turn anything in until they got the death certificate. This way, they've already got the claim. They're just waiting on the death certificate to write the check. And I love that.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of maturities in the last 2 months. We've had a lot. I think we've had 5.
Oh, wow.
You know, and several of them were million-dollar deals. Several of them were little. But it all spins.
Yeah. It's
you know, money is money. Cash is cash.
Exactly. And so it's like, you know, and that's really kind of how the whole thing, you know, works. When you look at the big picture of it, you've got some small ones and some medium ones and some large ones, some that are, you know, shorter, some that are a little bit, you know, longer terms. And that's really what makes the whole thing work, is that it's not one of those things where somebody should come in and say, hey, I'm going to invest in this particular policy. And then when it matures in, you know, whenever it does, then I'm just going to go ahead and retire and that's it. This is something that, you know, you're in a policy and then it matures, you're in another policy, and then you're in, like, say, several other policies at the same time. It's almost like a thing of, like, leapfrog. One matures while you're investing in another one. And so people are always, I guess, churning over money and then reinvesting and making more money. With annuities, it's like you've got, like you said before, that stopgap so that you know, you're mirror the stock market, but you're not in the stock market. So if the stocks go down, your annuity doesn't. It holds steady. If it goes up, then obviously you go up and it locks in and all that. So, I mean, there's just so many great things about either investment. The bonuses, are they still intact?
Yes, so far we've still got that 14%. And everything you put in it for 3 years, you get that 14% bonus. And, you know, the fixed rates on the little policies like the CD policies, you know, they've been coming down. But two different companies contacted me this week. One's paying over 5%, and one's paying a straight 6%.
Really?
For either 3, 5, or 7 years. So 6% is unheard of.
Yeah.
And it's a company we don't usually use. But all of it will spend, you know, so it depends, you know, where you're at. If you're almost 80, the fixed rate is what you have to take, because at 80, they're not going to do, you know, let you do anything else.
Yeah. Well, you don't even want to at that point.
No. And it depends what age you are. If you're 50 to 65, life settlements are perfect. If you're getting up there to 70, and you're fixing to retire, you need the annuities where it'll just pay you every year or every month. You can take a 401k, roll it over into an annuity. You don't want to leave it with the company you're leaving. Or if you're changing jobs, now's the time, if you're changing jobs, to move your 401k over right now. It'll go into an IRA, and you'll have a lot more control over it than you would at a new company.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, you look at both of these investments and it's just like, you know, I would imagine as people just in a regular normal situation, people probably are starting to look at their portfolio and saying, gosh, as we get closer and closer to retirement, we want to take less and less risk. So that's something that people normally do. However, with the situation that we're in now, I would imagine people who may be a little bit further out from retirement might be saying, golly, you know, we've been, you know, investing in, say, Wall Street for, I don't know, 10 years or whatever it is, and we may not actually get to a place where we can retire at the rate we're going now. And so even starting early, you know, even if they're several years away from retirement, you know, starting at this point might be one of those things that people are starting to look at and say, you know, hey, this instability and volatile conditions may go on for a while. We should probably start at least doing something, even if they don't take everything, but take some of it and invest in more of a conservative investment and start laying some groundwork for something that's actually solid. I would imagine.
Well, you know, all the people that I've done over the years with annuities, nobody's ever complained about their annuities. I hear people say, oh, I've got a complaint or I've got one. But not with these companies, because they do what they say they'll do. It's in writing, and they write a great annuity, and they've improved it and improved it over the years. Yeah. So that's really important. If you buy a variable annuity, you've got mutual funds. You're right back where you started. You're right back in the stock market. So you don't want that. You want a fixed index annuity. That's the best kind to have. You've got all kinds of guarantees. You don't pay taxes till you take it out. It's tax deferred. You've got compound interest. It's just, and you've got a bonus.
Yeah.
Right now, you're still getting that 14%. I mean, I would love to have that and then add to it every year. You know, if it's a 401k that we've rolled into an IRA, you can add to it every year.
Yeah. I mean, just the bonuses alone is great. And that's automatic. And then, you know, any profit that you make in the actual investment itself, you know, is on top of that. And it just seems like it's just there's so many different layers of profit that come in for annuities. It's just, I don't know. I know they've kind of gone, I guess, maybe under the radar for so long because they're not one of those, you know, the new shiny, you know, bright, you know, sparkly thing that people are going to, ooh, wow, and be mesmerized by. It's kind of a, I hate to say it this way, but it's kind of a boring investment. But it works. It's conservative. And at the end of the day, all that really matters is that are you making money or are you losing money? I mean, to lose all that in crypto is just, I'm just still in shock.
I mean, I'm just in shock that people would fall for these scams on crypto.
I didn't know it was that big.
I didn't know it was the $15 billion. I didn't know.
Wow.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
But, you know, we could sell you a gold mine in Argentina. I mean, you know, according to the paper, there's just all kinds of junk out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, be conservative. Don't lose your money. Hold on to it. You're going to need it. Yeah. See, that's the whole thing. If you lose it now, what are you going to live on?
Exactly.
You don't want to live on beans.
Yeah.
You know, you want to take vacations, spend time with your grandchildren. There's so many things you can do when you know that your money's safe. You don't have to worry about it. When you get older, you may not be as sharp. If you're not as sharp, if you've got annuities, it'll take care of itself.
Yeah.
It will work itself. You don't have to be a rocket scientist once you've got an annuity. And it's different. If you've got a stock account, you don't know what they're doing. I mean, most of them are doing a pretty good job, but some of them are not. And we can't say a lot about that, but we know a lot about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you've heard a lot of stories from people who've come over.
I've had some really bad stories told to me.
Yeah.
You know, they're telling them to sell and they don't even sell.
Oh.
I had a lady accountant. She lost over $300,000. And she said she told them, get me out of everything. I think it's fixing to be really bad. And they decided they were smarter than her and they didn't sell.
Wow.
So she's the one that lost.
Wow. And they don't have to do what you want them to do. They can kind of do whatever they want, I guess.
That's right.
And so,
I mean, they should be doing what you're saying, but sometimes they don't, and it costs you dearly.
Yeah.
They may decide some new stock they just heard of, you know, just went on the market. Oh. It's going to be great. We're going to put all your retirement in that. And then that company goes out of business 2 years from now, you're a dead dog right there.
You know, I mean, you've lost everything.
Not good.
And there's nothing you can do. I mean,
there's not a thing you can do about it because you gave them permission to represent you.
Wow, what a shame. Yeah, and so both of these, you know, whether it's annuities or life settlements, you have control over your entire situation. You have a control over your investment. Nothing is going to get moved around behind your back. It is, you know, when you do the thing, it's that way. I mean, it doesn't change, and it's conservative, and people have been doing this for years and years and years. They went out. You have been way ahead of the curve on this, and so, you know, you've got years of experience doing this under your belt. So, you know, and sometimes you're in some of these investments as well. And so when there's
That's
room.
Right. Sometimes I'm in the good, and sometimes mine are coming due on time, and sometimes mine aren't.
Yeah.
But that's just part of it.
It is.
They can't all be on time.
And it's kind of a big deal. It's one thing to talk the talk. It's another thing to walk the walk. And that's what you
that's
do.
That's right.
Because it's working. So this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
The Battle of San Jacinto.
Oh, cool.
The Battle of San Jacinto was April 21st, 1836.
Ooh.
Now, did you know that was the turning point of the independence of Texas?
It really?
And this week they celebrated in San Jacinto Day, and I don't think they make a big enough deal of it, because without the Battle of San Jacinto, we wouldn't be in Texas today.
No.
We'd be in Mexico, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a simple fact. But as you remember, in the 1800s, first we lost the Alamo. It went under. Then they had the massacre at Goliad. So Sam Houston and all these people were moving our troops, you know, farther east. Everybody said, well, he was scared. He was running. No, he wasn't running. They were fleeing to the east because they were scared for their lives. Everybody said the Texans are beaten, even though General Sam Houston had an army of 900, even at that time. He was still recruiting every day. And, of course, Santa Anna was chasing them through East Texas, if you remember. And the Texans were trying to outrun them. And, of course, Santa Anna was driving off the Anglo settlers. He was destroying their homesteads. But Houston was keeping one step ahead of him. And everybody said, turn around and fight. But General Sam Houston said, we've only got one shot. We've only got one shot. So on the 19th, as they were moving east, Santa Anna had divided his army into three different parts. But he did not know, you know, what Sam Houston was going to do. But on April 21st, they received 500 reinforcements. And so, you know, they thought they had enough. And everybody's saying, come on, Sam Houston, let's do this. And he waited till Santa Anna and them had went and took naps, because they said, oh, Sam Houston and them wouldn't dare attack us. It lasted 18 minutes, folks.
Oh, wow.
The Battle of San Jacinto was won in 18 minutes. That's how good these were. And Mexicans didn't realize the attack was coming till Sam Houston said, call on the cannons to fire. And they were called the Twin Sisters. He had two of them. And he told the infantry, let's charge. And they were taken completely by surprise. A lot of them were still asleep. And none were in the defensive position. And, of course, the Texans were so mad because of the Alamo and because of Goliad. And they were yelling, remember Goliad, remember the Alamo. And after 18 minutes, all resistance failed.
Wow.
The panicked Mexicans, they were fleeing. They were so scared. So they were leaving. And, of course, they captured Santa Anna, but nobody knew who he was. You know? Everybody didn't know that was General Santa Anna at that point. And so he told them, you know, that's who it is. And they captured him. And everybody said, well, let's kill him. Let's kill him. And he said, no, we can do a lot more with him alive than we can with him dead. And I think he was right about that. So anyway, we won the battle. it turned the independence of Texas because of that Battle of San Jacinto. And then the Santa Anna thought he would recapture Texas, but it never happened. And then he lost California and New Mexico. Did you remember that? I did not remember that he also had California was run by the Mexican army, and so was New Mexico.
Really? I didn't. I didn't know.
Oh,
or
yeah,
I forgot.
He had all that. Had all that land. Had all going. He lost California. He lost New Mexico, and it was the end of them because of Sam Houston and them. That 18 minutes turned Texas around. We got our independence because of that one battle.
Wow. 18 minutes.
18 minutes is all it took of Texas.
Wow.
Oh, man.
I mean, you hear about so many, like, especially like the Civil War, you know, there's like, oh, this battle went on for like 7 days. But this
was
18 minutes.
It didn't take a Texan that long. And of course, old Santa Anna was dictating orders to his generals. He said, you're to leave Texas at once. He signed documents recognizing the independence of Texas and ending the war right then.
Wow.
And, and the generals did as they were told. They withdrew. They evaded execution. They made their way back to Mexico to fight another day.
I don't blame them.
They were doomed to failure. They never came back at us and were able to do anything. And so Texas became independent. And then later we became a state in the USA.
Oh, my gosh. After an attack like that, you know, it's like to catch him off guard and to have it all done in 18 minutes, I would say, yeah, I would be intimidated if I was them, too. I wouldn't fight anymore.
Yeah, they were ready to run. And, of course, they surrendered peacefully after they saw, you know, they didn't have a prayer.
Yeah.
The Texans were so mad. And they had the cannons called the Two Sisters, you know, and they were firing the cannons at them. They were running. I mean, can you imagine they were sound asleep when Sam Houston attacked them?
Yeah.
And they woke up to gunfire. They woke up to cannon fire, and they were on top of them.
Wow.
And it didn't take but 18 minutes.
Yeah, they were totally, I mean, like you said, they weren't even in any kind of a defensive position or, I mean, completely caught off guard, completely caught by surprise. But, I mean, gosh, you know, in all is fair in love and wars, as they say. So,
but, you know, it amazes me. We lost the Alamo. We had a massacre at Goliad. But once he got in position and did it right while they were, you know, taking a little nap, we captured them very quickly. So, you know, that's part of our history and how we got our independence in Texas from Mexico. And, you know, we have the San Jacinto Monument down there, that big, huge, tall monument. And it's to that independence that we gathered in that 18-minute span.
we could literally call it 18 minutes that changed the world.
That's right, 18 minutes that changed the world. Because we would be speaking Spanish today if Sam Houston and them hadn't been smart and fired the cannons and took them into custody real quick.
I mean, really, it was the turning
this
point.
This week in Texas, we celebrated San Jacinto Day, that we do every year. And I think it's not taught enough in Texas as how we really got our independence. And it was that battle that brought us the independence from Mexico, that 18 minutes. And I think they should teach that more in school.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, it's not like something that happened over a long period. It was literally like in the grand scheme of all time. I mean, that's like a blink of an eye. And it changed literally everything for us. And so, you know, we wouldn't be what we are today without it. And so, and I guess I had forgotten or didn't realize that that's where we get the expression, remember the Alamo, is from when
that's,
they were charging.
That's right, because they were yelling, remember the Alamo, remember Goliad.
Yeah.
And that's all it takes for a Texan to get their dandruff up, you know? The injustice of that spurred them on, and, man, they took them down quick.
I can't imagine what it would have been like to be them, like, sleeping, and then all of a sudden wake up to people, like, literally on top of you with gunfire and cannons. Wow.
That's right. They're running on top of you, and you were taking a nap. And, you know, Santa Ana just misread the whole deal. You know, he thought he was so smart because he'd been in these other battles and did all this to us. And he said, well, they wouldn't dare attack now, you know. We've got plenty of time. We'll just take a nap. That was their undoing right there.
Yeah. Somebody got a little cocky and maybe they let their guard down a little.
They did let their guard down a lot. And it's so funny. You know, they said, Sam Houston's a coward because he's running. They were running for their lives. They were just waiting for a place that they could stop and defend themselves, you know.
Yeah.
But they didn't have any choice but to flee to keep from being captured.
Yeah. I mean, you got to. Jeez.
Yeah, they didn't have a choice. Yeah. They had to do it.
They didn't have a choice. And, wow. I'm just, you know, I just, it's such a thing that I don't think we spend enough time focusing on because of the importance of it. And it's probably, you know, like you said, it should be probably something that should be more front and center. And it just kind of, I guess, relatively speaking, it kind of goes under the radar a little bit. So
I think it does. I think people forget how we got here and why we celebrate San Jacinto Day. And it should be a bigger deal than it is.
Yeah, it should almost be at the height of like July 4th, kind of a.
It should, and I'm sure they should be doing reenactments and things like this to recall how all this happened.
Oh, that would be brilliant! Oh, wow,
wouldn't that be cool.
Brilliant? Yes.
Yeah, it really would.
Ooh, now how do we make that happen? Because boy, oh boy,
We have to. We have to talk to the historical societies.
Yeah. Oh, golly. Yeah. Oh, could you imagine how cool that'd be like a whole thing. I mean, you could go down for like a couple of days and have, you know, San Jacinto days instead of just one. And then, you know, have all the festivals and celebrations and reenactments and, you know, like what was like back then. And oh, boy, that would be cool. Wow.
But, you know, if it wasn't such a big deal, we wouldn't have that beautiful statue down there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that huge, huge San Jacinto Memorial. So, you know, it is a big deal, and we should pay more attention on San Jacinto Day.
Yeah. You know, and it's just like when you're at the statue and you're looking at the memorial, it's one of those things where it's just like if you really stop and think about what you're like in front of and what you're actually like looking at, it's one of those things that can really bring goosebumps and make the hair on your arms stand up. It's moving.
That's right.
We need to see if we can get somebody to make it an actual day and a thing.
That's so. Right. We need a reenactment of that.
Yeah. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. Got a lot of good things in there.
Maybe somebody will call you this week and say, hey, I know a guy that you can get in touch with, write him a letter. You may have just dug yourself a hole.
There you go. I'm always doing that.
You're going to be the one that spearheads this whole movement now. It was Faye's idea.
I love a movement for Texas.
Yeah, it's no better cause. So that's awesome. Okay, so I know you already went over the accreditation for life settlements, but just to make sure, we should probably go over them again. There are two risks with the life settlement. What's the first one?
The biggest risk would be if it goes over, you would have to pay premiums. So we always put that in. Everything we do, we show you what the premiums are. We tell you what your profit is. We tell you what kind of cancer they've got. All the details about this policy is on that page. And it used to be page 15, but now it's at the back. I think it's 5 pages from the back. So anyway, it's important to see all this, to know everything you're doing. We believe in full disclosure going in.
Yeah.
The other thing is, it is not liquid until it matures, and everybody knows that, but we want to remind you of that.
Yeah, and one does need to be accredited, which also means...
You must be accredited to do that.
And what is that? It's 200...
You must make $200,000 a year or you must be worth $1 million without your house. That's okay. The rule.
I know you've had people that have come in before that have called you and said, Faye, I'm really interested in life settlements, but I'm really not accredited. But they've actually went back and looked at their assets and pulled up old 401ks and properties and, you know, different businesses. You know, all these things go into the mix and be counted. And so you've had people before that have gone back, ran the numbers, and have realized that they have been accredited. So if anybody's thinking about it and just thinking in their heads, gosh, you know, there's no way I can even do this, I'm not even close to qualified, you might be. So it might be worth, you know, going back and looking at things. For an annuity, is there any kind of a accreditation process?
No, we have to have what your net worth is, what your expenses per month are, what your income per month is. You have to have emergency money. If you have no income, no expenses, they would never do it. So you have to have, you have to be living somewhere. You have to have utilities. You have to have some expenses. And then you have to have income. And if you've got all those things, we can do an annuity. We can get you started. We can do an IRA. We can do a joint account. We can do an account for your grandchildren or your children. Or we can do it in a trust, however you need it done.
Yeah. And there's what, 14 different options to choose from with annuities?
Yes, there is about 14 different things that are great that we can put you in. And you know something I just thought of that I've never told anybody? An annuity is portable. I have a doctor that lived in El Paso. He put his retirement in an annuity, and he went back to Kiev to live.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Every year he just calls, and we send him a form, and he takes money out of his annuities.
Cool.
And I hadn't even thought about that, but he's not even living in the United States.
So
he lives in Kiev. Has one little boy. I guess his little boy's grown by now. When I first met him, he had a little boy that was just fixing to start to school, and he was getting ready to retire from the hospital there in El Paso. You know, so he put his money here in the annuities. And then he took the annuity with him to Kiev to live.
And then he retired and moved out of the country.
Moved out of the country.
How cool.
And he doesn't have any problem getting his money every year. He just calls me, says, this is how much I need to take out. And we've done it for him all these years.
Well, golly, there's more options.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. But that is another option. If you're moving out of the country, it's not a problem if you've got an annuity.
Cool. All right. So for people who are looking for something a little bit more conservative, maybe hang on to something so that they have some retirement or just build their portfolio, build their wealth, conservative might be the way to go. So for people to get more information, or if they think they know enough, and many people do, to just go ahead and get started, either way, they do need to make an appointment. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.